Good afternoon, we are here today, July 3rd, 5 in the afternoon, on continuation of the motion hearing, which was yesterday. The appeal of advertising resources on our team, OPD, under number of
Franklin Kupner, auditor.
Benjamin Abrams, assistant attorney general, representing the government of administration. My cohort, assistant attorney general Weisenberg, due any minute, but at this moment he's get arrived.
Jeff Lynch, lobbying on behalf of the appellate data manager.
Reminds me of the last time I heard a welcome.
Mr. Abrams, did you identify the government representatives in the room?
I'm sorry. Seated in the spectator area, I guess you would call it, is the director of the Department of Administration, Anita Mongolia.
Thank you. So we're here for the hearing, lobbying for the motion hearing. Can you stop for a second? I've had the opportunity in the last 24 hours to review the record again and the additional pleadings that have been filed. And rather than proceed with argument today, I've decided that that the government's motion to dismiss and vacate the procurement, we will reserve on that. My issue is the completeness of the record. The government has stated that they have found everything that they can but cannot assert, certify that the record is complete. The appearance of the appellant, they need to operate with a full record, and obviously the government, in order to make its defense, is still looking for additional information about the authorization of the counteroffer. So in light of that, I'm going to grant the appellant's motion for discovery in a margin of time and vacate the hearing date, which is scheduled for next week. What we need to do today, then, is to decide on when we're going to have this hearing. I will expect the deposition to be taken in the next couple of weeks. I'll issue whatever subpoenas are needed, but I would also expect the government to cooperate in producing what more witnesses are necessary that are in their control. In order to get past this issue, which I think is a critical issue of the completeness of the procurement record, I'm aware that before the hearing that we have, and we'll come back at the end of the month, that the General Services Administration certified the record as they have it. So if they say that we have produced everything that we have, and we'll do so, then we will accept that. The same thing will be required of the Department of Revenue and Taxation and the Department of Administration. At that point, I will expect that the government's position is that the record is complete, and we'll see where we go from there. So we'll come back on that issue on July 31, is that for you?
I'm going to talk about
let's hold off. We may not even be hearing on that matter anyway. Let's talk about hearing dates or hearing on the merits of this matter. So dates that the public auditor and I suggest are August 13 and 14. Does that work for your calendars, or are you able to make that determination at this time?
Which date is that?
August 13 and 14.
Of August?
Yes.
That sounds okay to me.
We could take a small recess. I can contact my office. I've got a criminal matter pending in the district court, and I know I've got some stuff scheduled for that particular week. So I need to make sure that it doesn't conflict. So if you don't mind taking a 5-minute recess, I can confer with my staff.
Okay, one more there. Okay, we are back on the record. And OPA-PA-12-07. Present is Mr. Weisenberger now, right?
Yes.
Thank you. When we looked, we were suggesting that August 13 and 14 be the new date for the hearing. Is that for you, Mr. Rahi?
Yes, it does.
Okay, so we will proceed at 9:30 beginning August 13th. In the meantime, though, I will be available to sign whatever subpoenas are going to be required in deposition notices. We would expect the government to comply and to cooperate and hopefully get that done in the next 2 weeks. So rather than have a hearing, because public auditor is not available for that, if there are any issues after those depositions with respect to the record, please file your pleadings on that matter by July 31.
If I may be heard on one issue, specifically on this motion to dismiss, whether or not the public auditor has jurisdiction to entertain the government's motion to dismiss based on prior to proceeding with deposition, I would ask that there be a determination. Simply because pursuant to 5 DCA 5125B and 5703, which provides that the public auditor jurisdiction over issues properly submitted to her, it is our position that the public auditor does not have jurisdiction over the government's claims. A motion to dismiss based on it. Specifically, I would raise that issue as a jurisdiction at this point because it would narrow the scope of the deposition as well. And in particular, in this case, this issue was not raised at the protest level when DMR protested the decision to terminate negotiations. And this issue that the government has now belatedly raised on this appeal was not raised at the decision level when they issued their decision denying the protest. On that basis, I would ask that the public auditor render a decision as to the jurisdiction over that section 1B and 2 of the motion to dismiss. As I said, it's extremely important simply because it will definitely narrow the scope of the deposition, and importantly, simply because it would also be consistent with the public auditor's position, I would point the public auditor specifically to the appeal of Allied Pacific Building. And this can be found at OPA-PA-12-10. On May 21st of this year, the public auditor dismissed in part a GDOE claim, basically finding that because GDOE did not assert the issue and was not raised at either the protest or the decision level, the public auditor has no jurisdiction. I believe that case is exactly on point to the issue.
If I could comment just on that, we said we would take that under advisement, and we are still here going to render a decision based on the appellant's desire not to have a formal hearing, and that the decision is still in progress.
Yes, and this relates to a decision that was rendered on May 21st on a motion to dismiss. So it's a decision that has already been resolved. You've dismissed portions of the original protest, and you've proceeded on what's remaining. So it's on issues that have already been completely been resolved by you. And so that is why we raised the case for you to review, because in that particular case, you found that because the government did not raise the issue at either the protest stage or the decision stage, it cannot raise the issue on the appellate in the administrative review, the public office. So we believe that it is critical to this particular case for you to determine first if you even have jurisdiction over those issues before we proceed into depositions, because as everyone in the room knows, depositions is a very costly event. I would like to take depositions if we are not proceeding on the record as it stands today. If we will not proceed on the record, if we are going to go forward on the government's claims on the motion to dismiss, and we are prepared to do so today. We're prepared to do so today without it, and if we proceed on the record, there's no need for depositions. But if you're going to allow the government to introduce these arguments, these unfounded arguments that have no basis in fact, then we would like to take depositions. So it's an alternative argument that we bring for you, that it is not fair to the appellant to be addressing this issue without a complete record. But if you will proceed today, we are prepared to proceed today on what is in the record currently before. And we believe that what's currently before the OPA, that we will be able to.
I understand your argument, and I'll let the government respond briefly, and then I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Right?
Well, I would ask your indulgence, Mr. Torres, to just briefly talk. I'm not going to speak any longer than I have to, but I do have one or two things that I think is important to mention. To the extent that Ms. Talahi is speaking about resolving our motion to dismiss, her motion to strike, before we get into discovery, with all due respect, in case you disagree, I happen to concur with her, if I understand her correctly. A lot of times, she's thinking and talking so fast, I just kind of kept that catch up, but I believe that's one of the things she was talking about. I would like a hearing date on the motion to dismiss and the motion to strike, because there's a narrow issue here. Yesterday, I didn't say this, but I looked at the file again myself since yesterday. I'm going to say I've lived with it since yesterday. What we've got here is a motion to vacate the procurement and to dismiss it, not just to dismiss the appeal. The motion to vacate the procurement is predicated, for the most part, upon an unfair, uncompetitive advantage that DMR realized because they've been having access to all of the government data files since 2009. We just introduced an effort. We didn't get Ed Cruz's declaration. He's in Japan. Tom Ash, though, had also been interviewed by our office as to the circumstances and the nature of the fiber optic cable and its effect. So Mr. Titano admits that he had fiber optic cable in place. He admits that he has maintenance contracts which give him access to data. What is in dispute here and what is critical is his access to key procurement data which would influence the outcome of a bid. And no, I know of no situation in the world where one of the bidders has a fiber optic cable with unrestricted, uncontrolled, no log in, no log out access to the GSA procurement files. I mean, if we're right, and I believe we can prove the law, which I'll get to in a second.
Yeah, but you know, you're not accusing them of any wrongdoing. You say that he has access because of his present position.
At this point,
I want to be clear on that.
Yes, I want to be clear on that too, and I'm just about ready to answer that question. At this point, we are not able to show any wrongdoing, but we don't believe we need to. We think all we need to show is that they had, it's stipulated that they had access. What is still at issue is whether they had uncontrolled, unrestricted, carte blanche, 24/7 access keys to the kingdom, if you will,
since 2009. And again, if they're right in proving that they did, and also that they had the ability, not that they did manipulate, but they had the ability to change a zero here or a seven there, or to copy or to alter any of the data in those files without any detection, if we were successful in making an offer of proof that we overwhelmingly will be, then the procurement can't stand. There is no precedent on the face of this planet for a procurement in any jurisdiction where one of the bidders has a fiber optic cable to all of the sensitive and off-limits data that no bidder should be allowed to have, but especially one bidder in comparison to the other bidders. Now, I know what they're going to say, there was only one bidder, but we're talking about Bank of Guam, and that leads me to my second point. If we have a hearing on our motion to dismiss, and Ms. Jelani's motion to strike, we're prepared to call witnesses to show that Bank of Guam was unfairly and unjustly denied access to baseline data they needed to develop a bid. And by wrongfully excluding this data from them, they forced Bank of Guam to drop out and not to make a bid. That, too, would render the procurement void ab initio. So this leads me to my final. I'll try to be real brief here, but I just want to make my points, and I appreciate your indulgence and your patience, and I'm sorry if I'm taking too long. But these matters about the cable and about what they can and can't do with that access they've had since 2009, there's no way we're going to prove this without calling expert witnesses. We're dealing with an arcane technical matter that probably people like you and I take a little learning curve to get up to. But we're going to have to call Mr. Cruz. We're going to have to call Mr. Hatch to tell you what they know to be the case. An indication of it is Mr. Ash's declaration, but Mr. Lockheed can't cross-examine that, and you couldn't really rule in our favor on the basis of an out-of-court statement, however accurate, or if it's sworn or not. So please, let's have the evidentiary hearing that in our motion, and I heard of our notice of motion, never dawned on me that we wouldn't be able to call witnesses. And I noticed motion, we stayed right there in black and white, that this motion dismissed the appeal and vacated the procurement. It's going to be made on the basis of testimony and evidence adduced in support thereof here. And we just act, because without that, we'd be compromised severely. We wouldn't be able to prove the allegations, not only in our motion dismiss and to vacate the procurement itself, we couldn't defend the motion to strike either, because that depends on what our witnesses are going to say. I've been personally accused by Mr. Titan of defamation. I'm here to tell you that from a personal perspective, my character is not to defame anybody. I'm telling it like it is. And if it rubs them the wrong way, I ask the appellant, to sit tight until we have the chance to put on evidence to show that every word in our motion to vacate the procurement and our motion to dismiss the appeal is in good faith and entirely accurate. Thank you.
Why reviewed those files today with Mr. Ashton? I don't see that he makes an accusation of any wrongdoing. He simply identifies the ability to access information. We're going to have our hearing date on August 13th and 14th. We won't be having a hearing on a motion to dismiss and turn it into a motion for summary judgment. We'll rule on the record. I understand that you brought up a jurisdiction issue. I will try to get a decision out on that motion on that issue by this Friday, maybe at the latest. And we'll proceed from there.
Are you saying there'll never be a hearing on the motion to dismiss the appeal and vacate the appeal?
No, I just said we'll reserve on that.
Oh, okay.
All right.
And so we'll... One thing now, if we're going to have the evidentiary hearing on the motion, which I hope we do,
I can tell you it's my intention not to at this point.
So, not to have a hearing on the motion to vacate?
Not to have an evidentiary hearing on the motion.
Any hearing at all?
Well, we're going to have a hearing on the merits of this case, August 13th.
Well,
I'm not deciding your motion at this point. And I'm making no representation that.
you couldn't really decide it without hearing the proof of the facts we allege in our motion.
But you only decide based on the record that you have submitted. You're free to submit whatever you want, but I hear what you're saying, but I don't see what you're saying necessarily in the record.
I think you missed my point there with all due respect. Let me just one more time try to drive this home. Without any wrongdoing by Mr. Titano or DMR, even without finding their hand in the cookie jar, the fact that they had the access, the fact that they had the capability of manipulating data, the very fact that they had access to GSA procurement data renders them totally disqualified as a bidder in this procurement. And since there was only one bidder, the procurement has to be vacated. That's our position, and we want to prove it.
Thank you. Okay. So, if there are any more issues with respect to the record, please let me know by the end of the file.
And obviously, the hearings officer is in need of further briefing on the issue of the jurisdiction of the OPA as it relates to issues raised for the first time on appeal. I will be happy to submit a written brief on that.
Okay. I don't think that's really possible. That would be necessary, but thank you.
So, she wants the public.
No, I told you, she can file, both of you are free to file whatever you want to file, but she's offering to put on a brief, and I think I understand the issue. I'm not requiring a brief.
Okay, if she does submit a brief, we have 5 days within which to respond.
Well, we are going to have a hearing on August 13th and 14th. How do you want to use your time in between? I expect to make a decision on this by Monday.
On the jurisdiction?
Right. So, to assist you in your deposition. So.
I'm not clear on what the decision is going to be on. The issue of what?
On the issue of the jurisdiction of this, this office to raise an issue on appeal that has a procedural issue that hasn't previously been raised.
I am going to argue the issues raised in our most recent.
Well, Mr. Abrams, I'm not saying that your motion is going to be granted or denied. I'm not trying to put you at prejudice in any way. I'm just trying to deal with the issue of the record. And at the present time, neither the government, probably the government can say that the procurement record is complete, and as she argues that the procurement record is not complete, it is identified a reasonable basis as to why it isn't. She wants to do depositions. I think it's reasonable on both sides. It goes also to your ability to prove up your defense. If this office determines that your argument about his accessibility disqualifies him as a bidder and makes the whole process void.
Well, you know, Ms. Delacky made a verbal motion to dismiss on the basis of jurisdiction.
But the jurisdiction is a different issue. I understand that you can't just come in here and say whatever you want.
Well, what she just did, though, the different issue is appreciated, but she took that different issue as a subject matter of a verbal motion to strike. I'm not even exactly sure what it was, but it was something to the effect that parts of our motion to dismiss were beyond the jurisdiction of the OPA because they were raised at this stage instead of an earlier stage. And she's raising a verbal jurisdictional objection to certain parts of our motion because of that. And she presented argument. And all this is verbal. But we haven't had a chance to respond either verbally or in writing, have we? Unless I missed it somehow.
Well, if you respond, I'll allow it if it's done by Thursday at 5 o'clock.
Well, I'd like to make a verbal response to offset what she just said, unless it's going to be handled ex parte. I mean,
if we can be clear, she simply says that you cannot raise this issue at this point in the process.
Well, we certainly can, and I can tell you why.
Okay. I'll give you that opportunity and we'll forego the Thursday briefing.
Okay, we can file something by this Friday. Is that correct? Thursday.
Thursday. Friday.
Okay, right. We'll settle for that.
Okay. And we will rule on that by Monday. And otherwise, we'll see you back on August 13th or 14th. 9:00.
And then you will be addressing the motion to strike by appellant and the motion to dismiss by the government at some point between now and then.
Not between now and then. We will simply reserve at this point on your motion.
Then reserve ruling on it.
Correct.
Until sometime during the hearing.
Well, probably. We will not go forward with that hearing if I grant your motion.
I see what you mean. Okay.
I have one more issue. I apologize. My office has just informed me that my office was served with a 39-page declaration filed by the Office of the Attorney General as it relates to this particular matter. I've been informed that there are attachments on that record that reference specific data that the data management resources perform for the government with respect to certain information that may contain confidential information. Without having read, I'm looking at this, there are stuff referencing pay periods, referencing specific names, and so I would ask for the opportunity to review the documents just submitted by the Attorney General's office today to determine whether or not it has confidential information, and I'd ask the public auditor not post that information on the website until the determination has been made. I think it's extremely critical in this case, as I said, that the statements already provided by the Attorney General's office without foundation are defamatory in nature, and now they're proving to set forth more statements involving people's names and pay period information.
Okay. I haven't seen that document.
Right now.
So we will not post it at this point, but in order to evaluate, make some sort of evaluation, or be able to evaluate what you say, we'll need to see a contract that exists between government and government. The current contract that you say is being violated through this posting, through this payment.
Apparently there is a contract of some sort that's attached, but if you need to see any contract of the current existing relationship between data management resources and the government of Guam, I'd ask you to order the government to produce it. We have multiple contracts throughout the government of Guam, and we shouldn't have to produce every government contract completely unrelated to the data.
But if you're going to assert that they are somehow in violation, you ask me to...
Oh, no, not that they're in violation of the contract itself, but that they may be violating confidentiality provisions as it relates to personal information belonging to taxpayers, belonging to employees of the government of Guam. All I have here is in this 39-page declaration of Roberta J. Castro, it references the names of people and pay periods. That references to me that they may be speaking specifically about specific government employees and confidential information that was covered under Guam law, not under any specific contract with data management sources. I'm concerned more of the government of Guam employees.
Okay.
Well, may I be briefly heard? I did the filing, so I know what I did. But I filed documents for the very contracts that you're talking about. I assure you there's no confidential information there. There are purchase orders, there are invoices, there are quotes, there are documents related specifically to the relationship between the government of Guam and the data management resources with regard to two contracts. One regarding their maintenance of a GSA procurement module and their maintenance of a DOA fiscal module. They're purely records of a contract that exists between our between us, the very matters that are before the court today and before the other.
I haven't seen it, and obviously Mr. Roy hasn't seen it. As a courtesy, we will not post it, but if you get back to me before 5 o'clock, is that possible? Sure, not really. Are we working the 4th of July?
I'll work for the job.
You're not on my behalf, that's right. then I think we can do it until Thursday. Okay. Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. It is now 3:38, and this hearing is adjourned.